Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. As we said yesterday, so happy to be back with you after a couple weeks away on mission in Rwanda, where you had some great guests filling in for me, talking about the Word, talking about the teachings of the popes and the saints, and so great to have them here. But I'm excited to be back and get back into the Word of God. Yesterday, we started a little bit on Ephesians 6, and we're on this theme of there is a spiritual battle. There's a battle going on for your heart and for your mind. There's a battle going on for your friends and your family, that God has an enemy. And so we have an enemy, and the enemy is Satan. And Satan hates God, and Satan hates us because God loves us and because we bear the image of God. And Satan has no power over us unless we give it to him. But we do need to be aware that there's a spiritual battle raging on the earth. And so how do we engage in the spiritual battle? How are we aware of it without over-relating to it? What does that look like in our lives? So that's what we're reading in Ephesians 6. And it connected so perfectly because I started yesterday by just sharing a little bit about what I experienced in Rwanda and what the Lord was showing me. And I shared yesterday about a girl that was, her leg was healed through the process of renouncing evil spirits and forgiving someone that had hurt her. And so this is the way that she went to battle. And you know, while I was there and we were teaching this, we had a mass at the end. And it was a closing mass, and there was supposed to be 2,000 people there at the mass. And there was 35,000 people that showed up, which, like, the difference, it's like, oh, we thought there was going to be 2,000, but 33,000 more showed up. And this is pretty common in Africa. They said the last mass that they had, 70,000 people showed up. And it was beautiful 3-hour mass. These people, they're singing, they're dancing, they're reverent, they're just praising and worshiping the Lord, friends, with such a deep hunger, a deeper hunger than I've ever experienced or seen here in the States. And one of the things that I love, I want to share a little bit more about that mass later, but one of the things that I loved is after every single mass, they would expose Jesus in the Eucharist. After every single mass, they would walk around with Jesus in a Eucharistic procession. One of the days I had the privilege of going and being with an all-girls school ranging from like 9-year-olds all the way to 20-year-olds, an all-girls boarding school. And they had organized that day for me to come and for me to speak to them. And when I came, instead of just having me speak, they started with mass. And their masses aren't like daily short masses. You know, they have a full choir. They're singing. They're dancing. They're dancing up in the offertory. They're praising the Lord with all of their hearts. And so they had a full mass. And then the priest, who was an amazing young priest, he exposed Jesus in the Eucharist and he did a Eucharistic procession. And then he set Jesus on the altar and had everybody adore. And then finally he was like, okay, if you want to go ahead, if you want to preach, if you want to say something. And so I was able to share with the girls there, the young girls, about Be Love Revolution, about being Jesus's, about having our identity rooted in him, about being free in him, and about being love in the world. And they loved it. And they were chanting back, be his, be free, be loved. But I was so struck by just the intense conviction from these priests about, yes, we need to minister. Yes, we need to preach. Yes, we need to teach. But the first thing that we need to do is get people in front of Jesus. That we need to get people to Jesus. That when Jesus comes before us in the Eucharist, everything changes. And it was this high level of expectation that there's nothing more important than we can do than actually taking Jesus around to the people and allowing him to look at them and allowing them to look at him. And as they were doing that, and these girls were just looking at Jesus, their hearts were opening up, and it just convicted me so, so much about here in the States, so often, whether it's in our prayer, we're like, oh, I'm just going to have my nice little time in adoration. I'm just going to have my nice little mass time. And we don't have an actual expectation that when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes before us, even if we don't feel it, even if we don't see it, even if we don't experience it, but that God is changing us. That God is coming to us. He's looking at us. He's transforming us. As he comes into our hearts, he's transforming us. And I believe that he wants us to have a greater increase of faith to say, when we do ministry, when we need something in our lives, we need to depend so completely and totally on him. That God changes things. That he's coming after us, that he's coming to get us. You know, there's a preacher that I loved who passed away, and his son was giving his eulogy. And he said, in the eulogy, he said, my father only ever had one message. And it was a message that he preached in stadiums, and it was a message that he would whisper in my ear every single night as I was falling asleep. And the message was this: God loves you. He is on your side. He is coming for you. He never gives that this is the reality that we're fighting for. This is the reality that when those people bring the Eucharist in a procession to people, when these priests are convicted of, like, all we have to do is get Jesus in front of our people, they're acting on that conviction of God loves us. He's on our side. He's coming to get us, and he never gives up. This is the basis of our battle. Amen. Amen. All right, so let's pray really quick, and then we're going to get back into Ephesians 6. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word that you're going to deposit in us. And I pray that you would give us strength and the power of your might to fight the battle you are calling us to fight. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to stop there because I want to talk about standing, right? So yesterday we talked about there is these powers and principalities, and we have to be aware. We have to be aware of the battle that's at hand, not so that we can be afraid, not so that we can say, okay, Lord, I'm shrinking and I'm cowardice and, oh, I'm so scared of the devil because he has power, but so we can put on our spiritual armor. And friends, this is something we should do every day when we get up. Put on your spiritual armor. What soldier goes to war without armor? We would say that would be so unwise. But we need to protect ourselves against the wiles of the devil. And then I love this. In the part that we read, Paul says stand three times so that you would be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, so that you would be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all you can, to stand. So three times he's saying stand, stand, stand. So he's saying put on your armor, but what you have to do is you have to stand. And the reality is, friends, is we don't even have to charge into battle. We don't have to go out looking for fights. We don't have to go out trying to win on our own. There's a spiritual writer named Watchman Nee who wrote a little book about Ephesians from prison. He was a Chinese martyr. And he writes that Paul's using this phrase stand because stand represents the ground that we've already won. When you're trying to win ground, when you're trying to take ground, you say, like, charge, you say, there's some kind of movement. But when you're standing, you're protecting the ground that is already yours. When someone is attacking you and you're standing strong, like, I'm thinking of, if you've ever seen Lord of the Rings, like, there's some amazing scenes of some of those battles where they're, like, standing in front of Helm's Deep, or they're standing and protecting these places, and the orcs and the armies are just coming at them, and the evil is the ones that are charging, and the others are just standing. They're standing strong. And so what he's trying to communicate is there's a spiritual reality here that the enemy, the evil one, is trying to come and take ground from you that you've already won in Jesus Christ. And this is why we don't have to be afraid of the devil, because he has wiles. Yes, he has powers and principalities, but he's trying to steal from you the victory that God has won. In Colossians, it says we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of his beloved son. And the enemy is moving around trying to get you off your mark, trying to get you back from the kingdom of light into the kingdom of darkness. This is why you do not be afraid. And this is why he's saying, stand. Think of the beautiful image of what was Mary doing at the cross. She wasn't sitting, she wasn't kneeling, she wasn't even charging at the enemy, she was standing. She was standing, carrying the weight of suffering. She was standing, holding on her shoulders what her son was enduring, and she was standing, holding fast the ground that her son was winning for her on the cross. She wasn't kneeling because she wasn't defeated. She wasn't sitting because she wasn't defeated. She was going to battle with her son, but she was standing tall on the ground that was being won for her by Jesus. Friends, this is many of us. God saying, put on your armor and stand. Withstand. Persevere. Don't sit down. Don't cave. Don't kneel down. Don't give in to the enemy. All you have to do is stand. With the armor of God that is protecting you. You don't even have to go out and wage war. God has already won the victory, but you have to stand strong in the power of his might and allow him to fight for you. You have to stand strong in who God has created you to be, in who you are in Christ, and you have to stand against those principalities and powers. The devil isn't trying to keep you somewhere. He's trying to bring you into a place of darkness. And so a lot of times he goes into our minds, into our hearts through lies, lying to us about who we are, about who God is, who other people are. He puts hardships and obstacles in our life, thinking that if we can just buckle under the weight of evil in the world, then we will come over to his side. But we want to fight. And we're going to talk about what it means to put on the whole armor of God. But how we fight is in the victory of the Lord. How we fight is standing. How we fight is staying strong in what God has given us. How we fight is standing, is kneeling in front of the Eucharist. That's the only place we kneel. We go to the Lord and say, you are strong, I am weak, and in front of you and with you, the victory has already been won. And so what I need to do is stand under the power of your cross and say, I'm not moving from here. God has planted me in soil where I have victory. I'm not walking away. I'm not buckling under the weight of my own suffering. I'm not giving into the lies of the enemy. I am putting on my armor. I'm refusing to think that my neighbor is the problem. And I'm saying the devil is the one who I'm fighting. The principalities and powers is the one that I am fighting. That is what I am doing, and I am choosing to stand. So friends, if you're listening and you're like, spiritual battle feels overwhelming. It seems overwhelming. I don't have it in me to fight another battle. The Lord is saying, all you have to do is stand. Stand under the power of my cross. Stand under the power of my blood. Put on your armor and stand strong, and I will fight for you. So friends, today as you go through your day, say, Lord, how am I standing? Help me to stand and to just keep going. Amen.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.